Several months ago, we received an email from Focus on the Family and encouraging us to join churches all across the country in talking about honoring Marriage Sunday. They have designed today to be Honor Marriage Sunday. So all across the United States, people will be hearing a similar message. Our hope this morning is that you will desire to honor and bless the marriages around you, your own marriages, and the marriages in this church. It's pretty easy to get discouraged about the state of marriage in the country today. Between the divorce rate and the redefining of marriage, it's pretty easy to lose hope. But we can't. Whether you're married, single, widowed, or divorced, you can make a difference in the marriages around you. It is more than possible, I promise you. The song says they will know we are Christians by our love. And because we're Christians, that isn't just on Valentine's Day. So today's message is about equipping every Christian to honor and bless the marriages in their families and their churches and their community. It's biblical, and I'll tell you why. God the Father honored marriage by engineering, instituting, regulating, and witnessing the very first marriage of Adam and Eve. He defined its nature, its parties, and its terms. Christ honored marriage by performing his first miracle at a marriage, and also by using marriage in many of his parables. And the Holy Spirit honored it by describing the church as Christ's relationship to the church and compared it to marriage in Ephesians 5. So this message today is not just for married couples, it's for everyone. Because every follower of Christ is called to esteem marriage as highly valuable.
Hebrews 13:4 tells us marriage should be honored by all. That means every Christian, whether young or old, single or married, is called to esteem marriage because it is extremely valuable. If Jesus is your Savior, you are called to honor marriages. So to begin with, let's start by talking to the married couples today. Esteem your marriage as highly valuable. Luke 12:34 tells us, "For where your treasure is," and when we get to the yellow print, please help us out, "there your heart will be also." For where your treasure, there your heart will be also. Jesus wasn't talking about marriage in this particular instance, but the concept is still the same. Where your heart is where your passion is. The title of today's message is Have a Heart. We need to have a heart for marriages in this country, in this church. But what does have a heart mean?
Having a heart means opening up how you feel, sharing your passions. Having heart means standing up for what you believe in. Having heart means exposing your inner self and your vulnerabilities. The heart is what defines us and tells other people who we are, what we believe, what we stand for, and it's the place that we make our decisions from. So if you invest time and energy in your marriage, you mean to say to others that you're putting your heart into it. It means that you want to have a marriage that blesses your family and your children. You've heard the expression that home is where the heart is. We're building homes with our hearts. We esteem our spouses as highly valuable. We look at our spouse as personally autographed by God, handpicked for us. That was no accident. You honor marriage by keeping your vows and believing in the permanence of marriage. You gift your children by giving them a mom and a dad who love each other and enjoy each other and spread that joy throughout their home. So we're talking about esteeming and valuing your own marriage. But on a broader spectrum, we need to esteem every marriage. And I want you to think of them as duets in need of great backup singers. We're the Motown city. You remember the Supremes and the Temptations? They always had backup singers, and they did their little, you know, their dance. But every Christian, married or single, is called to be a backup singer for marriage.
Now, there's a book in the Old Testament that not everybody's familiar with. It's called The Song of Solomon. And maybe in your version, it might be called The Song of Songs. But the entire book has traditionally been seen as a duet or a love poem between a husband and a wife. It's love lyrics that they sing back and forth to each other throughout this book. It's a book of love, of romance, of passion, of intimacy. But along the way, the duet is enhanced by others in the story. And they're called the Daughters of Jerusalem, and sometimes just they're referred to as the chorus. And they're like the backup singers to this great duet, adding value to what's going on, because they esteem marriage highly. In chapter 1, verse 4, we read this: "We will rejoice and delight in you. We will praise your love more than wine." From the moment the woman expresses love for her husband, and the desire for him. Those backup singers are there esteeming their marriage, honoring their marriage. The love that this couple has. The harmony reminds us that we need to be advocates for marriage, not just for the husband, not just for the wife, but for them as a couple. Every time the chorus sings, they are 100% for the marriage of this couple. How refreshing is that? These backup singers know love when they see it, and they seek to build it up. They don't want to tear it down. They rejoice with her, and they're happy for her and for the couple as a whole.
Just like the couple in the Song of Solomon, you can see that your marriage is surrounded by backup singers as well. Some of these voices encourage and bless your marriage, and others may lead you into doubt or despair. Bad backup singers bring discord to your duet by saying things such as, you never should have married them, or he'll never change. They put discontent in your heart, and they skew your thinking. Good backup singers say things such as, you're just going through a rough patch. How can I help? I know you guys are really stressed. Is there something that I can do? Good backup singers hold you accountable, and they tell you when you're going off the path. How many people saw War Room, the movie War Room? Well, that movie was full of good backup singers. Miss Clara in the movie was the epitome of a good backup singer because she never attacked and agreed with the woman, the wife, that was complaining about her marriage. She was a good backup singer. So it's time to turn down or mute the bad backup singers in our life and turn up the volume on those that are blessing us. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron and one man sharpens another. Surround yourselves with those who have good marriages. Not perfect marriages, but people that are struggling but have the same insights and the people that honor and value marriage the way that you do. How we come through our struggles is what defines our marriage, and it makes us stronger. And it also allows us to empathize with other couples and be able to bless them more effectively. And it brings in the coach step of being able to help others and help them avoid the landmines that you may have walked through.
So today, I want to look at four practical ways that all of us can honor marriage and be a good backup singer. And the first thing we all need to do is pray. Prayer is the foundation for anything we do in the church, isn't it? Realize that you cannot do this alone. You need God's help if you're going to make any difference in the world, and any difference in your marriage or the marriage of those around you. In the movie War Room, my favorite part of it was when she ran around the house telling Satan, get the heck out of here. Get away from my family. We don't want you here. Because she realized that Satan has an agenda. That agenda is to break up marriages. And there's a domino effect, because once a marriage is broken up, it breaks up friendships, it breaks up families, it breaks up neighborhoods, cities, counties, even countries. Marriage is the foundation of the family, and the family is the foundation upon which to build a strong nation. So what specifically should we pray for? Well, first of all, let's pray for the engaged couples. We know what they're going through, trying to plan a wedding, watch their finances, all the stresses involved, trying to keep the family happy while they're doing it. Pray for the newlywed couples. People are trying to combine their two lives together with all their baggage and all their background and trying to make it work as they come together. Pray for the long married couples, the ones who maybe it's getting a little bit boring, or maybe they take each other for granted and there's discontent. Pray that they will be able to keep up that fire and that passion that they have for each other. You can even pray for your future children's marriages. Even though they're not of age to marry yet, start praying while they're young. In fact, it says in Proverbs, start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Parents, we are raising future spouses. And dads, I want to talk specifically to you for just a minute. The day's going to come for many of you when you're going to be standing at the back of a church preparing to walk your daughter down the aisle. You're going to be giving her to someone else. And I'll tell you, some of the best photographic memories I've seen from weddings is when the dad hands his daughter off and says a word of blessing to bless their future as a couple.
You can picture and speak a special future for your kids. Talk about the qualities that you see in them that will make them a good spouse or even a good parent someday. Point those things out to them. Talk to your children about marriage and the responsibility that it requires. Many young adults today are avoiding marriage because they're afraid of making bad decisions. They're afraid of what they've seen around them. Teach them life lessons about your own marriage. Tell them about your dating days and how you knew that your spouse was the one. Talk about your early married life and some of the struggles that you might have had, and what some of the dreams were for your marriage. This gives your child something to hold on to and to grow from and hang on to when they experience these similar things in their life and when they create their own love stories. And also, parents can bless their children by praying for their future spouses, their child's future spouses. When we would tuck our kids in at night, it was a very special time of reading a story, listening to the day, and saying prayers together. But it struck us, when you look at the innocent face of a sleeping child, that someday, much sooner than we're ready for, you will have to give that child to their spouse to start their own life. That's a very scary prospect, and we knew that that was out of our control unless we came to the Lord. And we prayed over our children that God would bless their future spouses, bless their parents, that they would help this child to grow into a godly man, and that the child would have experiences that would help them to be able to lead the family and to love our daughter the way she deserved to be loved. There's nothing scarier than when your daughter brings home a boy that you know is bad news. And there's also nothing worse than when you fall in love with your daughter's boyfriend and you think we could very easily welcome him into our family, and then they break up. It's a loss that you feel. But again, we go to God in prayer, and we ask him in advance to do and to build that future spouse in his way. So what you're doing is honoring your child's marriage even before it happens. But we can also honor their marriage when they become adults and they do leave home and start their own homes. So you can honor your adult children's lives by separating from him or her relationally, emotionally, and financially.
And we've been blessed since last year of reading through Genesis in our 9:30 service and learning from Randy's expertise on it. And there's a line I want to share from Genesis 2. And that is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife. And it goes on to say, and they shall become one flesh. We hear that a lot at weddings. Take a look at the word I have underlined there. A man leaves his father and mother. Not a boy, not an adolescent, not a young punk, but a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife. Parents, it's your responsibility to raise your young men to become true men. Don't let them leave as a boy. Prepare them for life. Prepare them for marriage. Make sure they're not still on the journey to becoming an adult, but they are an adult as you prepare them for their future spouse. Parents, you can bless the marriages of your children by preparing them for the responsibility of work and marriage, and then releasing them in a way that they can go on to start their own home and their own family. Teach them ahead of time that life can be hard, and you must work and sacrifice to move forward and to grow, but it's the most important thing they need to know in life. You'll prepare them to not expect marriage to be a fairy tale, but to be a novel with many chapters and the ups and downs of the journey ahead of them.
And you can honor their marriage by separating relationally. It's very hard to accept, but you are no longer their relationship priority. As a mother, I found that especially hard to understand. But their spouse is their new priority. Now, this doesn't mean that you're cut out of their lives or their relationship with them. That shouldn't be the case. But you enter into a new kind of relationship. Your children are no longer commanded to obey you, but they should still honor you. That doesn't change. So you need to spend time with your children, your adult children, without smothering them. And now that your child doesn't live there anymore with you, seeing them and being with them will have to be intentional. In other words, it will have to be scheduled and arranged. And by doing that, you speak to your child and tell them the importance that they have and that you still want them in your life, by carving time out and spending time with them and making it intentional. You honor their marriage by separating emotionally. Don't expect your children to make decisions for their marriage and family based on your feelings. Where they vacation, what holidays they come home for, how often they visit. These are all things that they need to work out as a couple. And when we work with engaged couples, we already see that surfacing, because these two adult children now have two sets of parents to consider. So be sensitive and understanding when these decisions don't fit your need or your schedule. Avoid sending your children on a guilt trip. Let them know that you are 100% for their marriage and you are there to support them. Make new traditions. In our family, everybody gets together on Christmas Eve. Well, we can't be in two places at one time, so we had to make new traditions. Don't make claims on your child, because this does cause a division in their marriage, and it causes conflict. Affirm them when they're doing well, and even affirm them when they're struggling, and let them know that you support them. I don't care how old a child is, they love to hear that you're proud of them. And let them know that you see what they're doing in their marriage and how they're trying. Also, avoid taking sides when your child comes home after a marital conflict. This can really come back to bite you if you get into spouse bashing. And then what happens is the couple makes up, and there your words are hanging out there and all the bad things that you said. We know that you want to stick up for your child, but you are a backup singer for their marriage, not just your child. Be an ally for them and not a sounding board that violates, invalidates spouse bashing.
Now, for you young husbands out there, a word I want to give you. You need to create a strong emotional bond with your wife that's stronger than the one you have with your parents. Don't think of your parents as the one you go to discuss what happened at work, or what's going on in your life, or what you're scared of. It's your spouse who should be your go-to person at all times. Those who have been married for a while, we understand that. So guys, if you're young, newlyweds, keep this in mind. Build that bond with your spouse. It's important for the future. Another way we need to separate is financially. You honor the marriage of your adult children by separating financially from them. And this can be very hard because we don't want to see our children struggle, especially when we have the means to get them out of those circumstances. But let me tell you, the best lessons we learned in life is when we had to do some struggling, because struggle is a great teacher. It makes you learn to rely on each other and on yourself instead of running to mom and dad every time you need help. So moms and dads, if you have adult children or married, let them flounder a little bit. It builds character. Help them to assess what are their true needs in life. Make sure they're living within their needs. You can give them advice, but give them more advice than you do shekels. And as we said earlier, continue to pray for their marriage and ask God to step in, because he can take care of things that you cannot. So good marriages need backup singers, and they need the ongoing support of prayer and God in their lives. However, most of us at some point will come across a couple in our lives who are in conflict, and they may turn to us. What do we do when that happens? Well, the only thing we can do is advocate for both spouses. Every time you hear the chorus singing in the Song of Solomon, they esteem the marriage as highly valuable. In chapter 5, the couple are newlyweds. And like most couples coming home from their honeymoon, as life starts to settle in, so does a little bit of marital conflict. You might say, in this case, the honeymoon seemed to be over. The woman feels remorse after the fight, and she goes off in search of her husband. And along the way, she runs into their backup singers, the chorus, or the Daughters of Jerusalem. And again, we find that they are relentless in promoting the marriage. We read this in the Song of Solomon. Where has your beloved gone, most beautiful women? Which way did your beloved turn, that we may look for him with you? Notice he didn't say, "Hey, he's a creep, let him go." Or, "Shame on him for treating you that way. You deserve so much better." No, they are backup singers for the marriage. And that means for both of them. So what should you say when someone close to you comes to you for help?
Well, first of all, if they called you, they see you as their first line of defense. Don't resist this opportunity. Listen and validate their feelings without condoning their bad behavior. They might rant and they might rave, but just listen and don't condone it. Don't bash or justify their spouse bashing. That just fuels the fire. Remind them of the truth. Oftentimes, couples in trouble will rewrite history. They might say something like, "You know, the way things are now, I don't know if he ever loved me." You can remind them that you were at their wedding and you saw them say their vows. And you might remind them of the positive things that you see in their relationship, whatever it may be. Remind them of those truths, because they tend to forget that at a time of conflict. Make it your goal to keep the lines of communication open so that they'll continue to seek your help. Now, just a word of caution here. Of course, if there is abuse in a relationship, you need to make sure that the one who's being abused gets to a safe place and has your support. Those are extenuating circumstances that require a different approach. But when we're talking about the case of ordinary marital discord, you can help point them in the right direction. Offer your support to find good counselors or a program. Maybe you have the means to provide for that counselor. Invite them to a small group or a retreat or a marriage conference. Just like the chorus in the Song of Solomon, be relentless in fighting for their marriage. And finally, ask them if they believe in Jesus Christ and that he was raised from the dead. If they answer yes, then remind them that the same power that raised Jesus from the grave and from the dead is the same power that can revitalize and give life to their dead marriage. If they say no, this is the time to introduce them to the one who can save their life. We all need forgiveness, and we don't deserve it. Remind them of the forgiveness that we receive from Jesus.
Now, God is the glue that holds marriage together. And those that need him, or those that know him, need to call on him. And those who don't need to get in touch with him. He's the greatest power there is for marriage and for life. Troubled couples who have lost hope are ripe to hear this truth. They need to know there is a Savior out there who will save their lives, save their marriage. And if they do know God, it's a time to remind them that God cares for them and he cares for their marriage. It becomes a turning point or a blessing in their lives, and we've seen it happen many times when we work with couples and reminded them of their need for Jesus in their marriage. Now, another way to honor their marriage, or to honor the marriages around you, is to initiate quality time, which is a daily delay, a weekly withdrawal, or an annual abandon. Spending quality time together tells people around you, your children, your family, your friends, that marriage is important to you, and you make it a priority. What is a daily delay? Well, simply, it's just 15 or 20 minutes a day that you carve out, tech-free, child-free, distraction-free, to just focus on each other and make sure you're connected. And a weekly withdrawal, that can be a date night. Go out to dinner, go to a movie, maybe just go sit in the park and hold hands and look at the sunset for an hour. An annual abandon. Get away at least once a year. If you can't afford it, do an overnighter even, or a bed and breakfast weekend. It doesn't have to be a big fancy vacation to Mexico or somewhere, or Europe. Make it simple. Keep it within your limits. Don't cause more conflict by overspending for that abandon. In Song of Solomon, we read these words. My beloved spoke and said to me, arise, my darling, my beautiful one. Come away with me. Come away with me. Let's face it, early on, dating is easy, isn't it? You live and breathe thinking of that person. You want to spend time with them. All you can think of at work is 2 more hours and I get to spend time with her. But you know what? As time goes on, complacency can set in. And that can be poison to a marriage. You need to make sure that we keep the excitement there with those withdrawals, daily, weekly, and annually, that you keep a focus on what's important, the passion that you have between the two of you. Now, I'm going to ask you a question here. How many of you keep your car in the driveway because you can't put it in your garage? A few of you are brave enough to raise your hands. Thank you. Does it look something like this? Some people have so much junk in their garage, they take their expensive, brand new, shiny car and leave it out in the driveway, exposed to the elements, while all their junk is warm and dry and safe in the garage. Think about it. Sometimes, don't we do it with our marriage? We put our spouse out in the driveway, exposed to the elements, while we keep our job, our money, and our hobby, and other things safe and dry and secure in the garage. Don't focus on your junk. Focus on your spouse and on the marriage.
So what if we challenged you to have regular date nights? Well, the most common excuses that we hear from couples is, we have kids, we don't have time, and we don't have money. You can encourage quality time for couples by providing maybe a gift certificate or watching their children for them. Maybe you can watch your neighbor's kids on Tuesday and they watch yours on Thursday. That's called backup singers backing up backup singers. Bless your married children by offering them the gift of time away for their relationship. Everybody wins. You get time with your precious grandchildren and they get time away. It's kind of like making preventative doctor visits to avoid a serious illness later on. We insist that our married kids take regular date nights, even if we have to provide the gift certificates and scoop up the kids and make sure it happens, because we remember those early years of starting careers and raising children and how stressful that was. And we can't save them from that because that's the stage of life they're in, but we can give them some breathing room.
Grandparenting, one of the greatest gifts God has given to us. How many times do you get a second chance to do it right? All the mistakes we made with our kids, we aren't going to make them with our grandkids. Raising kids means cooking and cleaning and discipline and all that yucky stuff that goes with parenting. But grandkids, they come over, nothing gets done except play with the grandkids and hold them. And the neat thing is, your children may not listen to you, especially when they're adults, but your grandkids will always hang on to your every word. We find great joy in our grandchildren because it allows us to remember that Jesus made us to be a family, and the future of our family is right there in our arms. Now, the fourth way that we can honor marriage is to reap from experienced couples. To reap means to gather or to harvest, or to receive a benefit as a consequence of the actions of another person. There's much to learn from someone who has experience. I'm going to ask you now, if you've been married more than 20 years, I want you to stand up right now. Let's give them all a hand. This church honors your commitment to each other. Thank you for modeling marriage for the rest of us. You can sit down now. I love the wisdom found in the book of Proverbs, and there's a verse that really talks about learning from those who are more experienced in life. And that's in Proverbs 1, verse 8. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. We've asked many long-standing married couples, what is it that makes marriage special and keeps it going so long? And we hear stuff like, we're soulmates. Hate that one. That's a Hallmark answer. Or they were compatible, or they were made for each other. But the truth is, the true answer to that question is found in one word, and that word is character. Character gives commitment the feet to run. We vowed, sickness and health, richer or poorer, for better or worse, until death do us part. It's commitment to following that that keeps the marriage alive and thriving. Character is more important than compatibility. Dr. Scott Stanley from the University of Denver states it this way. Commitment is making the choice to give up all other choices. In other words, we don't look at the grass on the other side and think it's greener. We water our own lawn and make it greener.
Character is more important than compatibility. Think about all the couples where it's obvious that opposites attract. There isn't compatibility there. It's something that you create over a long period of time. So that's why you need character and commitment until death do you part. Experienced relationships also include those that are widowed. We should be aware of their need for support. They're adjusting to a new way of life without their spouse. Encourage them to tell their marriage stories. Encourage their sense of purpose now that their life has changed. There's no more pertinent lesson learned than from someone who has lost someone very special to them. My best friend died unexpectedly the day before Thanksgiving, and Rick and I were totally unprepared for such a tragedy. We'd known this couple for over 25 years. We had many future plans together that were suddenly altered. The day after my friend Sue died, her husband called and asked to talk to me. And in my head, I was busy praying and trying to form my words of how I would answer the hard questions that I'm sure he would ask me. But he didn't ask any of those hard questions. He simply asked, "How do I make coffee?" My friend used to prepare the coffee the night before and set the timer so that when they woke up in the morning, they would wake up to the smell of freshly brewed coffee. And he was desperately trying to find that comfort in that simple act that his wife did for him. So don't ignore the widow. They have a beautiful story to tell you, and they really help to make you realize that marriage is made of the simple things, not so much the big things, but the simple everyday things. Honor their marriage because commitment does not end at death. It just makes the memories more special.
Now, everything we talked about today can be summarized in our main idea. And I hope you're taking notes and you'll write this down. And Randy, I hope you're writing this down. Honor marriage because love is the autograph of God. A person's autograph or signature means that they are committed to something. It's an approval of the statement above. It's a bond that says, I agree and I support. Isn't that great to know that God agrees and supports about our marriages? The autograph and the very character of God is all about love. God's love is the answer to every relationship problem. It's the answer to every problem in the world. If we could all have the heart of God, wouldn't this world be a much better place? But we can do it all in our little way, starting at home, starting with our marriages.
Let me close with a story that I recently heard that touched my heart. And it was a story about the great cathedrals of Europe. Now, you can't name the specific people that built these cathedrals because they took hundreds of years to build. People worked on it and completed it, not even knowing if anyone would notice. There was a story about a man who was carving a bird in a wall, and it was going to be hidden by a beam. And somebody asked him, why are you spending so much time on the detail of that bird when no one's going to see it? And he answered, God sees it. You know, they trusted that God saw everything, and they showed up day after day and created something and worked on something that they may not even see completed in their lifetime. One great writer said that he doubts that any great cathedrals will ever be built again because no one's willing to sacrifice to that degree. We're building cathedrals here, people. We really are. We have the greatest admiration for the greatness of the cathedrals that you are building in your homes. Our marriages are God's cathedrals that worship Him, love Him, and show ourselves to the world. We build into people through our commitment and our love. And we might think that all we do is show up, but God sees every sacrifice. He sees every time that we don't roll our eyes at our spouse. He sees every cup of coffee that we make them. And He sees every argument that we wish we could take back. Our marriages are building a great cathedral. It won't be finished in our lifetime. It will continue to be built through our children and for generations to come. God asks us to build that cathedral with detail. There's one couple, and just because two people fell in love, look at what the cathedral is that has been created through their marriage and through God. Let's pray that our marriages and the work that we put into them will stand as an even greater monument to our God.
We're so glad you came out here today, and we want you to know that your duet is important to us and to this church. Our desire is to be a backup singer to your marriages, and hopefully you will to ours. Your marriage is important to you, your spouse, your children, your family, your friends, especially to the church. Our prayer to you is that your marriage thrives and the gospel and love of Jesus will be proclaimed through it. May we all leave here today with one couple in mind who we can think to bless and honor their marriage. Watch your kids when they go on a date night. Give them a gift certificate. Pray for them. Invite them to dinner or coffee and tell them how important their marriage is to those around them. We plan to start some marriage small groups this year. And if you're interested in it, we don't have any dates yet. We're just trying to get a feel for who would be interested. So there's a sign-up sheet on the information table. If you sign up with your name, email, and your phone number, when we start these groups up, we'll contact you. Also be a chance to sign up to know about our future events that we're going to be having here at the church, the future marriage events. And if you'd like to talk to us after the service, we will be down here. And you can talk to us. We'll pray with you. And the pastoral prayer team will be down here as well if you want someone you need to talk to. At this time, if the band can come up and the ushers could prepare for the offering, and we will pray over the offering and over the service. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your design of marriage and family. We thank you that you meet each one of us exactly where we are, and that your love is constant and true. We celebrate that love on this Valentine's Day, and we desire to have a heart for you, which will reflect in every aspect of our life. Help us to build great cathedrals for you with our lives and our marriages and our families. We ask your blessing and support on every marriage here, that your guidance and direction will be there for the asking, and that we will realize our need for your presence in our marriages. We ask you to protect our marriages from the evil one and help us to keep our eyes on you, God. We pray for any struggling marriages in this church, Father, and that they will be surrounded by great backup singers to help lead them back to the right path. And Father, we ask your blessing on today's offering. May it be a testimony of our love for you, and may it support what you are doing in this church body. We're so grateful for the blessing of this church and all the relationships that grow inside these walls. Our offering to you is our act of worship, as we acknowledge that everything we have belongs to you and comes from you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.